Good morning, Central Park Church of Christ. You know, I always ask that or always say good morning because I used to go to the nursing home up at Watsika and we'd do the church service and it was right after lunch. Well, you know what you do right after lunch. And one day after we got through singing, I looked out and everybody was asleep. So when I ask you how you're doing, that's what I'm asking, you know, and see if you're still awake and still with us. Well, this morning, I guess there are some really big questions before us because we're entering into a new year. And last year, it kind of took the wind out of our sails a little bit. And we lived a little bit in fear and concern and wonder. And maybe this year starting out about the same. I don't know. It's not for me because I declared last year, as far as I'm concerned, the year of COVID. I'm declaring this year the year of Lord's service. So I'm not going to live in fear anymore. I'm going to be careful, and like I hope all of you are, and we're just going to move forward. But I want to ask the question that I think we all should maybe consider it one way or another. What is truth in this world? Now, we have heard so many things about so many different things in so many different perspectives that we have no idea what to believe, do we? No, it's becoming a real conundrum for us just to figure out what's truth. And I've just determined that anything government is not going to tell you the truth. I've just determined that. And that goes back to a biblical precedence when Jesus was before Pilate and Jesus was talking about the truth. Pilate asked, what's truth? Well, it's obvious a politician can't recognize what truth is. But we do, in order to have an optimistic view of 2022, we're going to have an optimistic view, something that is truthful, something that's going to give us a foundation for our life, and something that we can really hang on to when it gets tough. You know, and the old saying, when it gets tough, the tough get going. Well, I don't necessarily believe that. Sometimes when it gets tough, it just beats us up. And so I want to just share a few passages of Scripture with you today, and we're going to be talking about light. A light is an important thing, and just before I get into the Scriptures, I just want to share you my great discovery on how important light is. Years and years and years and years and years ago, when I was a new father, I had this brand new little baby girl, and we lived in a little house. You know, they built hundreds of them after World War II, and it was a little ranch-style house, and there was a bedroom, the hallway with the bathroom, the kitchen, and you go through this big entryway, and then you're into the living room, and then the other bedroom, and that's where the baby daughter was. Now, if you have been parents, you know that when, no matter where this baby is, you can hear its heartbeat. I don't care where you are in the house, you can hear it. And when there's something wrong with it, you know, they kind of make that known when they start crying. So one night, in the middle of the night, my daughter just breaks out crying. And you know, being the dad, you know, I got to fix this because my daughter's crying. And you know, we can't have this. And so I jump out of bed and I streak down the hallway. And I turn the corner into the kitchen and I'm into the living room. And about that time, my second and third toe on my left foot met the leg of the coffee table. Now, you've all been there, right? So you know how that pain just fills up your brain. And honestly, folks, I was a pretty young guy, and God and I had not mastered my vocabulary very well yet. And so I spent the next 3 or 4 minutes renaming that coffee table. And you know, by the time I realized, hey, I was on this mission to check my daughter out, she'd already fallen asleep. All that was for nothing. And here's the irony of the whole thing. I ran by 3 magical boxes which would have eliminated the danger of that journey in the dark. They're called light switches. And I ran by 3 of them. Light's important to us, and I want to share from God's perspective a little bit about light. And believe it or not, there is a whole lot in the Bible about the subject of light. And it starts out in Genesis 1:1. And it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and the darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that it was good. He separated the light from the darkness, and the light he called day, and the darkness he called night. Now, I'm going to share another passage of Scripture with you here in just a moment in that same chapter that's going to give us a little different perspective on what light is. And I believe that this verse that I'm going to share with these two or three verses that I'm going to share with you are going to give us the perception of light that we have today. Go down to verse 14, and it said, and God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky, and let them be to separate the day and night, and also let them be serve as signs to mark sacred times, days, and years. And let them be lights in the sky to give light to the earth. And it was so. God created two great lights, the greater to govern the day and the lesser to govern the night. He also made stars and placed them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to separate light and darkness, and to govern the day and the night, and to separate light and darkness. And God saw that it was good, and it was evening, and it was morning, the fourth day. Now, I want to use those two passages of Scripture specifically because I believe that there are two different kinds of light that we talk about in our spiritual journeys. One is the earthly light. And by the way, I don't know if I said this the last time I was here, but as God created the earth, all the science of the earth, you know, we talk about truth. What is truth? God established in the creation, the 6 days of creation, all the truth that there will ever be in this world. How everything works for as long as God intends for it to work was established on the day that God said, let there be, or that he made. Everything was perfect. And when God said it's good, it reflected his image, its purpose, and its perfection. Now, we know that in chapter 3, all that gets messed up. But that's a message for a different day. So we find that this light becomes not just something that we can see by, but a spiritual guide for our lives. God is described as being radiant with light. And we find that in Psalm 76, verse 4, the first part of that verse. Also in Psalm 104, verse 2, it says, God wraps himself in light as with a garment. And then in the Gospel of John, it talks about, this is the message we have heard from him, which we declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with God, yet walk in darkness, we lie, and the truth is not in us. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ purifies us from all sin. There is something that God gives to us, a perspective and a vision that God gives to us, whereby we can have fellowship not only with each other, but with him. There are prophecies, you know, if we go to John, the first chapter, and I don't know, so often when I preach, I tie Genesis 1 into John 1, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, because there's so many revealing things back and forth with each other. And one of the things that is said in the Gospel of John that reflects back to Genesis 1 was that it says, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, if we can begin to wrap our heads around that just a little bit, we're going to find that this light that God created in day one is also reflected in the light that we read about in the Gospel of John. It says, the light shined in the darkness, And you read in that Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that there is a subtle difference between light and darkness. There's a distinction, and God separated those. He says, if we still walk in darkness, then we can't have fellowship. We walk in a lie. The truth is so important to us today for us to navigate our spiritual lives. God gave us light so that we could navigate that spiritual journey that we are all on. Now, it's not necessarily a journey of our choosing. There's a lot of things in life where we get to make a choice. But we were created in the image and the likeness of God, which automatically put all humanity on a journey, a spiritual journey. And in the middle of that journey, or at some point in that journey, we get to make a choice. Now, you know, when my wife and I, we have discussions, and we don't necessarily are heading at the point in the same direction, sometimes those discussions lead us to a place we really didn't think we wanted to be. But in the psalm, it says, a fool says in his heart, there is no God. And I misquote that to my wife quite often. A fool says in their heart, you don't agree with me. I don't tell her that really at all. But that's an important part of this light thing, isn't it? That if we can't live in the light as God is in the light, then we're not going to be walking a spiritual journey that we were intended to walk. But we know that in chapter 3 of Genesis that all that got messed up. Man fell. And all of a sudden we lost what we talked about the last time I was here. We lost our sight and our abilities to follow Jesus. But in God's great love and his great plan for us, he was going to send Jesus, his son. This is not plan B. You know, for so many times in my life, I've compartmentalized the Bible and I've separated it and I've divided it and I've put this category and that category and that. It isn't like that at all. It is a flowing story of God's grace and love from beginning, from let there be till amen in the book of Revelation. It's a flowing story. And in the middle of this flowing story, in the prophet Isaiah, it says this, in looking forward to a day when things were going to be changed and the pure light was going to be coming into the world. It says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. Now, that's not the sun. It's not the stars, and it's not the moon. There is a light that comes from God himself, being in person, Jesus Christ. People walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in a land of deepest darkness, a light has dawned. Have you ever gone to bed and everything seemed so bad, and the night seemed so long, and you were never so glad to see the sunrise? You've been there. You know what that feels like. This is the anticipation that we have, that God has through his scripture informing us that he was sending something, that daylight, that picture of light in the person of Jesus Christ. And here's the magnificence and the magnitude and the generosity of God. He says, let's see, how does that go? It goes, he said, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant to bring back the tribes of Judah and to gather those of Israel whom I have kept. So I will also make you a light to the Gentiles so that my salvation shall reach to the ends of the earth. You know, this story up until that point was primarily for the Jews. You read the Christmas story and you read we read into that because we live in a time where Jesus has already seconded. We've lived through the book of Ephesians. We've lived through the book of Romans, where God has, through his son Jesus Christ, included us into that spiritual Israel that we are part of his redeemed. But this is where he prophesied that this light would be for us as well. Before, we weren't a people. We didn't have promises. We didn't have hope. We were lost. We were hopeless. And we've all been there too, haven't we? Not knowing which way to turn. But God in his grace gives us Isaiah 49 verse 6 when it says, I will also make you a light to the Gentiles. In the Gospel of John, after Jesus was born, certainly the shepherds were surrounded by a great light. It says, an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were afraid. There's one of the great understatements written in the Bible, isn't it? The glory of the Lord. We read about Moses and how his face shined. And can you imagine being out there in the middle of a field at night and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord shines around you? Ooh, it's the middle of the night. It's not supposed to be this bright. And they were terrified. But God says, don't be afraid. This is part of my plan. This is part of my love for you. And so in the Gospel of John, it says, John the 8th chapter, it says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Let's go back to John 1. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Is it any mystery? Is it any wonder why when we get to John, the 14th chapter, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father except through me. It's because he was the vision of truth. He was the vision of light. He was the vision of life because God intended and allowed him to come so that he could be those things for all mankind. In John, the 9th chapter, the 5th verse, as he was talking to some of his disciples, and he said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is that truth. Pilate, if he would have only known, if he'd have only understood, when he asked Jesus what truth was, all he had to do was look at Jesus, because he was truth. There was no pretense in Jesus. You know, every one of us as we live our lives, we don't want people to know who we really are, do we? Oh, I don't. Holy cow, there's a bad thought goes through my mind every once in a while. And if you knew about it, you'd think I was the most horrible guy on earth. But you know, I'm not the only guy that does that. Because I'm looking at people that do too, because we're people. That's who we are. But God looks past all of that and all the dysfunction of who I am, of who you are, and sees all of us through his son, Jesus Christ, because his blood was precious. In 1 Peter, it says, you weren't purchased, you weren't bought with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish. He gave the best for us. So that we might have eternal life. So that we might share in God's glory. But here's the human condition. And we find that in John chapter 3 verses 19 through 21. Here's the verdict. Light has come into the world. But people love darkness instead of light. Because their deeds were evil. Anyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light because they are afraid that their deeds will be exposed. But anyone who lives in the truth comes to the light so that it can be plainly seen that what they do, what they have done, is done in the sight of God. What does it take? What kind of a thought process do we have to feel like that everything that we do is acceptable in the sight of God? How hard do we have to work? Now, that I'm tricking you right now. How hard do we have to work to to accomplish that, so that everything that we do is done plainly in the sight of God. Well, the truth is, everything we do is in the sight of God. But how God sees what we do depends on who Jesus Christ is in our lives. God has set this standard of light in the world. And he himself has been the light, and he transferred that light to his son, Jesus Christ. And then he does this amazing thing that we read about in Matthew, the 5th chapter. You are the light of the world. Now, just drink that in for a minute. You are the light of the world. You are a reflection of the identity of God. You are a reflection of the likeness of Jesus Christ, because if they are defined as light, God is light. Jesus is the light of the world. And now you, through Jesus Christ, have become the light of the world. Nobody lights a lamp in a dark room of people they love and then puts a bushel over it so only I get to see it. That's not what we do, is it, in Jesus Christ? He says, no, you put it on a lampstand so that everybody in the room can see. And he says, a city set on a hill, which precedes what I just said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. That reference refers to Sepphoris. Have you ever heard of the town of Sepphoris? It was just a short distance from Galilee, from Nazareth. And the hill that Sepphoris was built on was literally built and constructed by King Herod himself. He built the hill that the city was set on, and then he built the city. If you ever look up Sepphoris, you're going to find that it was the jewel of Galilee. And we don't know a thing about it, do we? It's not recorded in the Bible. Because all that splendor and all of the optics of it weren't important. What was important is what was in Nazareth. But when it says a city set on a hill, everybody could see it because it shined. Inside this city, now get this, had a swimming pool with an island in the middle of it that was so big that you had to take a boat to get there. That's amazing. That's a big swimming pool. And when he talked about a city on a hill, they knew exactly what he was talking about. Cannot be hidden. And then he says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine before men. Why is that important? Because the light that you shine in the world in which you live, in the relationships in which you have, is the prism through which those around you see God. That's why it's important that we are connected with the light. God is light. The light of the world, which is Jesus. And in Jesus Christ, we become light. And this body of believers, along with every other body of believers who believes in Jesus Christ, who have been purchased by his precious blood, that of a lamb without spot or blemish, is a part of that light. Let the church shine its light in the declaration of the year of the Lord in our lives, in our day, in our circumstance. Let our light shine. Because if we don't, darkness prevails. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, your word is amazing to us. And more amazing than your word is your love packed into that word. And even beyond that amazement is the amazement of how you include us as dysfunctional and broken as we are, you have made us whole and well through your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we together rise up to praise you and declare this year the year of light, the year of the Lord, that others may see your goodness and your glory so that it not disappear from the landscape of this nation. And Father, I pray your power in each one of us, that we can be that light that shines. And I praise you and thank you in the name of your Son, Jesus, that you have done all of this for us. Amen.